5, we made it down through verse 19. So we'll pick up tonight in verse number 20. And Paul is continuing here as he closes out the book to give a series of exhortations to these believers. And we've talked already about how difficult some of these things are that he says, and even went so far as to say the only way we could do them is with the Lord's help, which really and truly that's how it is with anything, because the Lord said, without me you can do nothing. So it just takes the Lord for us to be able to even exist, much less to exist the way he wants us to. But verse 20 says, sorry about that, verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. And the thing about prophesying is that when Paul said this, you have to bear in mind that the people still did not have the complete revelation of the Lord. They had, at best, maybe the Old Testament scripture, but they did not have a New Testament scripture, not a completed New Testament scripture. So this gift of prophesying and the Lord moving on people to prophesy was something that was still working at the time. There were people still giving prophecies. But I am of the opinion and belief that we don't need that anymore. That now that we have the completed scripture, all prophesying is over. If you don't see it that way, then what you have is you got people speaking today who believe they're speaking with the same authority as the Bible and giving some prophecy that they believe is on the same level as what prophecies you find in the scripture. And there's still people today who believe that they're prophesying. They'll stand up in services and they'll give their prophecy and that sort of thing. But I just don't believe that that gift is active now. I believe we have all the prophecy we're going to get and really all the prophecy we need right here in the Bible. I don't think I need any more prophecy. I don't think you need any more prophecy. We just need to learn the prophecy that the Lord's already gave us here in the Bible. And so in that regard, I don't think when Paul says despise not prophesying, I don't think we can apply that necessarily in the sense of people continuing to prophesy. But there is a way that you can apply what he says here. And that is we can study and we can learn, and I believe we should study and learn as much as we can about the prophecies that God's already given us in the Bible. And all of these prophecies ultimately came from the Lord, because the Bible says that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So these prophecies that have been given to us in the Bible, they ultimately came from the Lord. And you and I don't need to despise the prophecies given in the Word of God. We need to study those prophecies. We need to understand them as best that we can. And I've seen through the years that some preachers really focus in on prophecy a lot, and the vast majority of their preaching and teaching has to do with prophecy, and I don't think that's a bad thing so long as that's what the Lord's leading them to do. But in the Bible you have a whole lot of prophecy. And I think it's important that we study and learn what we can about these. I personally would just be flat honest and admit there's a whole lot of prophecies given in the Bible. I don't even have a clue what they're talking about. I mean, I'm just telling you God's honest truth. I've read them. I've studied them. I've read what other people have said about them. I've listened to what other people have taught about them and all that kind of stuff. And I've heard some good things, and what I've heard, some of it may be right, some of it may be wrong. Some of it may just be people guessing, you know, hoping that they're getting it right. Now, some of them are very clear and very obvious, and some people, maybe the Lord just helps them to understand those things better than he does others so that they can help people to understand what they mean. I don't know. But there's a whole lot of prophecy, especially in the Old Testament. Okay, when you get to some of them minor prophets, there's some of that stuff It's going to take a fella heaps that smarter than me to figure that out, okay? I just, you know, I've read it and read it and read it and read it, and I'm just telling you, there's some weird stuff in the Bible. Amen. The Lord says some weird things, you know, in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament. The prophecies in the New Testament, most of them, you know, aren't too difficult, except when you get over in Revelation, even some of that stuff's a little hard to understand. But those things back in that Old Testament, those prophecies back there, a lot of that stuff, and I think, you know, the majority of it has to do with the advents of the Lord, has to do with his first advent, which is past already, have to do with his second advent, which is yet to come. A lot of prophecies about the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and how it's going to be during that time. There's prophecies about Satan. There's prophecies about the Antichrist. There's prophecies about all sorts of things in the Old Testament. And like I say, some of it's pretty easy to get, and then there's some of it that I just don't know. I don't have a clue. But we don't need to despise the prophecies that are contained in the Bible, even though, and this is where I was trying to get with all that, even though I might not understand it all, don't mean that I shouldn't try to understand it. Right. You know, I've heard people make comments like, well, I don't even read that part of the Bible because, you know, I don't understand it. Well, that's not the attitude to have, you know. I may not understand everything that's written in the book of Zechariah, but I'm going to read the book of Zechariah, okay? I'm not going to despise the prophecies of the Word of God. They were given to us, obviously, for us to read, to study, to try to figure out with the Lord's help. So I'm not going to despise those. I'm going to read them, and I'm going to pray for understanding. I'm going to pray that God would help me to understand and see things. And through the years in reading, I've noticed I'll have read a passage of Scripture 100 times. And every time, you know, all those 100 times, read it and think, what in the world does that mean? And then the 101st time you read it, the Lord shows it to you. Or at least gives you a better understanding than you had of it anyway. So you have to persevere and read on through. It's like those parts of the Old Testament where it's just so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. I mean, let's all be honest. That's some kind of boring reading. I'm not trying to be blasphemous toward the Word of God, but, that, you know, when you get one of them chapters like in Numbers where the whole thing is like 60-something verses in the chapter and it's just all names that nobody in here knows how to pronounce anyway, it is, that's hard reading. But just because it's hard doesn't mean I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read them names, and I'm going to try to pronounce them best I can. I'm not going to just put it aside because I don't necessarily like reading all those names. I'm going to read it anyway because it is the good Word of God, just like anything else in the Bible. And the prophecies are the same way. I'm not going to despise those. I'm going to read them, and I'm going to pray for understanding. I'm going to try to learn them and figure them out as best as I can. So in that regard, don't despise prophesying. God's give it to us in the Bible. Read it. Try to figure it out. Try to learn what you can. And if it has application to your life, try to do what it says. Anyway, let's move on now to verse 21, which is a really, this is a great verse. Prove all things. To prove is to test or to try. Prove all things. I'm to put all things to the test. I'm not just to accept something just because it looks good, just because it sounds good, amen, just because it makes me feel good, amen, which all of those things I just mentioned is basically how the average person works nowadays. If it looks good to them, if it sounds good to them, if it smells good to them, if it feels good to them, then that's just got to be right. You know, that's the way, and that's just not how it is at all. You've heard the old saying, I'm sure, that you can't judge a book by its cover. And just because something appears a certain way or sounds a certain way does not mean it is that way. The Scripture says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. It seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Seems right, but it's not right. You have to prove all things. And what do we use to put all things to the test? What is the absolute standard that everything is to be judged by? That's how you prove all things. You don't prove all things by your emotions or even what somebody else necessarily says about it or some experience that they say they've had with it or whatever. You have to put all things to the test with the Word of God. And if it is something that is supported by the Bible or something that doesn't go contrary to the Word of God but is in line with the teachings and principles of the Bible, if it's something that's good, because that's what he says in the verse, hold fast that which is good. Well, if I'm to hold fast that which is good, what am I to do with what isn't good? I'm not fooled with that, right? I'm not to hold on to that. I'm going to let that go. That doesn't need to be in my life. I'm to prove all things, put everything to the test. Put everything to the test. You listen to somebody preach, and there's a whole lot of preaching and teaching going on. You listen to that kind of stuff. And just because some guy in a pulpit with a suit and a tie on says it doesn't mean that it's right. You prove all things, including what I say. And I've told you before, and I mean it, and as serious as I can be about it, any preacher who doesn't want you checking them out is somebody you better watch out for. Because he's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Every preacher should be willing, and I think encourage their people to check them out. Prove them. Prove what you hear. And there's so many illustrations you could give along those lines. But you prove all things and you hold fast to that which is good. If it's something good, you hold on to that. If it's not good, you don't need to fool with it. Let it go. Leave it alone. No matter how it looks. You think about it now. Really, you could boil this thing down. So we got in this mess that we're in. I'm talking about the human race. We wound up in this mess that we're in because somebody didn't prove something that she was told by what God had said. Y'all following what I'm saying there? God had told Adam and Eve what about that tree? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't fool with that. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Well, here comes the devil, and he says some things to Eve and gets her to thinking and questioning what God says. And then that thing says that when she saw that the tree was good for food, one desired to make somebody wise and that sort of thing, you know what she did? She looked at it, and she's thinking, well, boy, it looks good. And surely, if I'm going to be like a god after I eat it, then that's got to be good for me. It's got to be what I need to do, what me and my husband need to do. She goes through all that stuff, and she winds up eating it and giving it to her husband. He eats. Well, what did God say about it? God had said, don't fool with it. So it didn't matter how it looked to her and how she reasoned about it. She should have just known based on what God said. She ought to, when the serpent's talking to her, she ought to prove what that serpent said with what God had said, and then she would have never did what she did and brought all this mess on. You have somebody come along, and they telling you some things, giving you some counsel and advice, and, you know, before that, you really didn't have any questions about it because you had read something in the Bible, and you thought, okay, well, this is what God wants. Well, then somebody comes along, and they mean well, and they start giving you some advice and telling you things, you know, and it starts sounding good to you, and then you get to looking at the situation and reasoning, and next thing you know, then you go against what is clearly in the Scripture. You have to prove everything. Whatever advice somebody gives you or counsel somebody gives you, tell y'all something. Me and my wife and son sat and watched a program this afternoon, and ever since that thing went off, I've been thinking about it. And the way they, and I'm not going to get in, it wasn't nothing horrible or bad or anything, but it's just what they did in that thing is they presented stuff in a certain way to get people to thinking that it's all right to break their commitments and that sort of thing. They painted such a beautiful picture of it. And I'm going to tell you what, in the end, this is what they did. They promoted infidelity. That's what they did, which is a big thing in the world nowadays. Wow. You know, don't follow through with your commitments. And people have come along and tell you this. Well, if he ain't giving you the affection you need at home, and that fella that you work with is bringing you flowers and all that, well, maybe he's the guy you need to be with. No, maybe you need to be with the man that you said till death do us part.
Amen. Amen. Good preaching.
You know what I'm saying? You got to prove everything. And sometimes the devil will make it sound real good and make it look real good and make it feel real good. That doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's good. You prove all things. And if it goes against this Bible, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter how good it may seem. Because the end thereof may just be the ways of death, okay? So you have to put everything to the test. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, that's a great verse. And it's not always easy to do that, just to be honest about it. But that's the goal, is to try to abstain. What does abstain mean? To refrain, you know, to avoid. Abstain from all, not some, but all appearance of evil. Now, I think most of us would agree that the Bible is clear that we should abstain from all evil, right? If it's evil, then I don't need to be doing that. But that verse takes it to a whole other level. That thing doesn't just say abstain from all evil. What does it say?
Appearance
of evil. So if it appears, if it looks evil, then I am to abstain from that, avoid that. And again, that's not always easy, but it's the thing that you should strive for in your life. And this is part of proving all things. I think you can kind of join this. You try a situation, and you put it to the test based on what the Bible says, and, okay, here's a situation. And you get to thinking about it in light of what the Bible says. And you think, well, you know, there really ain't nothing wrong with that. But then there's the thought, it appears wrong. You're proving it by the scripture. You're putting it to the test. And you figure out that if it appears wrong, it may not be wrong. If you went on and did it, what you did may not in and of itself be wrong. But if it gives the appearance of evil, then what do? You abstain from it. You make sure that you don't do something that makes people think you're doing something evil. And that's going to require a certain level of commitment and dedication in your life. You know what that means? That means there will be times in your life when you're not able to do what you want to do. And I'm not even talking about something that is evil here. I'm talking about it may be something that in and of itself is okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but you're not going to be able to do it, because if you do it around others, it's going to give the appearance of evil. And so you have to abstain from that. And there's, you know, so many things that you, so many illustrations. I've mentioned to you before how, you know, I pull up and there's one in Andalusia. I've talked to you about it before. You know, right there in front of where the old Walmart used to be? There's a gas station and a liquor store right there. Well, me personally, if I pull up in there to go to that gas station and the only place for me to park is in front of the liquor store, I'm just going to go to another gas station. And that may, you know, well, you just being... Oh, I'm just trying to abstain from all appearance of evil, because I know how people are. And if they come by and see Brother Keith's truck with the scripture signs parked in front of the liquor store, they're not going to give me the benefit of the doubt.
You're right.
That's human nature, friend. They're not going to give me the benefit of the doubt. They're going to, well, let me tell you where I saw Brother Keith at the other day. Yeah, I was over here buying some bubble gum. That's where I was at. But you know what they're going to say? He walked out there with a six-pack in his hand. I seen him just sure as a world. That's how people are. If you give them a chance to speak evil of you, people will do that. So you have to be careful about things. Yeah, I seen sometime a while back, they came out with this, it was on the hunting program, I was watching it, had some former baseball players in it. The title of the program is Major League Bow Hunter. I bet Brother Terry's seen that before. And there's Chipper Jones and a couple other guys used to play baseball. They got them a hunting program now. And they used to all dip, you know, big. Well, they've come out with this stuff now. It's tobacco-less. I don't know what it is. If it ain't tobacco, I don't know what it is. But it's something. And it's in a can, just like Skoll or Copenhagen or whatever else, you know. And they had a commercial on there promoting that. And they were talking about how they all wanted to get off of the tobacco, which I commend them for wanting to get off of the tobacco. That's a good thing, in my opinion. They want to get off of it. So they said, now we finally found the answer. You know, the answer ain't just quit. I mean, the answer is in this tobacco-less stuff, you know, and they talking about how they use that now. I used to dip, okay? And I'm just going to tell you honest God truth. If I didn't think it was wrong, I'd still be dipping. I enjoyed it. I did. I enjoyed dipping. I enjoyed. Me and Brother Dennis used to chew tobacco. He'd come up to the house, bum a chew off my granddaddy, and they'd sit there and rot and spit. That's what they do. We did it, you know. I enjoyed it. I mean, that's the truth. I did. And let me ask you this. In all seriousness, would it be a sin? Is there anything evil? Okay, let's put it like this. Is there anything evil in me buying a can of something that ain't tobacco? I don't know what it is, whatever it is, it ain't tobacco. And putting that in my lip, would that be a sin? There'd be nothing evil in that, would there? I wouldn't be doing wrong until somebody saw that. Y'all seen them? That circle on their butt back there? You know what I'm talking about? Know you walking around with a skull? Or they see me, you know, big lip poked out spitting. Well, I got something in my mouth that's not evil, but you know what that does? Now, you know, you might feel like you can get away with something like that. I just know people. I couldn't get away with that. That gives the appearance to people that I'm dipping Skoll or tobacco. They would not for one second walk up to me and say, is that Copenhagen or is that tobacco-less stuff that they promote now? They wouldn't do that. They just tell everybody in the neighborhood, I seen him the other day, big dip in his lip spitting. That's what they would tell them because how people are. There's things that, what I'm saying, you could do them because they're not evil, but they give the appearance of evil. You have to be careful. Even that old, you know, which this is just kidding around here. Y'all seen that bubble gum? You ever seen it comes in a pouch, looks like tobacco? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What do you call it? Big League Chew. There it is, you know. Well, it's bubble gum. But in all seriousness, I would be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid, you know, if I was in my house or something where nobody was around, maybe it was all right. But out in public, I'd be afraid to do that because just as soon as I pull that pouch open, pull me out some, they wouldn't say that was bubble gum, would they? No, they wouldn't. They'd say, I seen him get him big chew of tobacco the other day. I love root beer, but I quit drinking IBC root beer. I love it. And I don't, maybe they've changed it, but have y'all ever seen them IBC root beer bottles? They look just like a beer bottle, don't they? And I love root beer. And I might drink one at home when there ain't nobody around, but I'm not going to drive down the road drinking an IBC root beer. I don't do. That's right. And we're laughing and kidding around, but I'm telling you, this is the gospel truth. That's what people would think about me if they seen me turn that bottle up. I seen Brother Keith drinking the other day. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. There's a lot more to just abstaining from evil. There's abstaining from the appearance of evil, which means there will be some times in your life when you can't do something that would really be all right for you to do, but it gives the appearance of evil. So you have to do it. I don't, and this is a long, more serious note here, and this is me. I'm not going to go out to eat with a woman besides my wife. I'm not going to do that. I mean, you know, if he's a couple or a group, okay, but I'm not, you know, these professional people now, they go to work and, you know, two married people and they're sitting out somewhere eating in a restaurant together.
Right.
And technically, I guess you say there ain't nothing wrong with that. They're just having a meal. But I'm telling you right now, if people kept seeing me eating out and eating out and eating out all the time with women, y'all know what they would say. They'd say I was being unfaithful to my wife.
Right.
So
right.
It gives the appearance of evil, okay? Plus, I do think that situation can lead to stuff that don't need to be going on, okay, which is where a lot of people get in trouble. I just don't want it, you know, maybe your marriage don't matter to you. Evidently, it don't matter to a whole lot of people, but my marriage matters to me. And I don't want to create any thoughts in my wife's mind that I'm being unfaithful. I don't want to create thoughts in anybody else's mind that I'm being unfaithful. And I don't want to give my flesh an opportunity to do something wrong. So I think, you know, you abstain from things like that. They appear evil. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is that's a lot. That's a mouthful there, verse 23. And I can see now we're not going to get finished. I had sort of intended on us finishing the study, but we'll probably do it Sunday night because there's a lot in verse 23, and I really don't want to have to rush through all that just for the sake of saying we got done tonight. So I think we'll just stop. It's 7:15. We'll just stop, and I'll finish up this on